Well, hello everyone, and welcome today to another session of our Wednesday morning Bible studies. I can't tell you how honored I really am that you would take time, and I realize how time precious is to each of us, but you're taking time to study with us the Word of God, and the most important thing is it's His Word, but that you also entrust me to bring His Word forth. That just means so much to me, and for that I am really thankful to you and to the Lord for using me with that. So this is our third session in No Fear, He Keeps Me. And today we're going to be delving into the fear side of that equation a little bit more, and probably one more next week. But then we're going to spend some joyous times in probably 3 weeks of study on the fact that He keeps us. And you're going to see some of it surface today. And that's really been exciting to me to see how much the Word talks about that we are kept. It may be some other words that we see, like guarded, which you'll see. So it just excites me to know in Him we're kept. In Him we're kept. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank You that You've been teaching us that we don't have to fear, that we don't have to let it in. And today You're going to show us that even though it's our choice, how we can be strong in our spirit, and reject fear as it tries to come to us. So Holy Spirit, have Your way today. Open up the Word to us. And we just thank You that we will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's do a quick review of the three verses that we've really been grounded in this study, and then look a little bit last week where we talked about don't let fear in. We've been anchored in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, where Jesus told the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And what happens? He lays down and goes to sleep in the back of the boat. Might we say He's at rest and in great peace? And then the wind comes and the seas begin to roar, the waves get high, they come over, they begin to fill in the boat, and He's still asleep. And the disciples begin to fear. So we've asked the question, what did Jesus know that they had not seen yet? And what did He know? He knew that the cross had been set before Him and that Father would keep Him until that day. The same thing He knew when He walked through the crowd there in His hometown when they wanted to throw Him off the cliff. And it's just so real that they did not know this, yet Jesus could sleep through this terrible storm. And then after it's over, after He calms the storm, speaks to it, then what happens? He says, "Why are you so timid? Why are," in one translation, other translations say, "fearful. Why are you so full of fear?" He had a higher expectation of them, just like He does for you and I today. And in that expectation is where I want to walk. I don't want Him to look at me and say, "Why are you so fearful?" And the funniest part about that whole story, and it's really not funny, I guess it's sad, is after He did all that, they were even more fearful. They just did not have what we have today with the fullness of the Spirit operating in them. Now, this concept of keeping is so important. They didn't see that the Word was keeping Him. His Word, "Let's go to the other side," was keeping them. And so we see this concept of keeping in other scriptures. We've looked at John 17, 11 through 13, where Jesus praying says, "Holy Father, keep them in Thy name." In verse 12 of that same chapter, He says, "I was keeping them in Thy name, which You've given Me." And then we see that also reflected in the wonderful chapter of John 10, where He says, "No one can snatch them away from Me." That's talking about His sheep, you and I. He said later, "And no one can snatch them from the Father's hand." But He closed that whole thing by giving us a key to all this. The Father and I are one. And that's something I want you to remember throughout today's session as we talk today and teach with what He's got for us, because you're going to see that's the key for most everything we have success on. We in Him and He in us. 2 Timothy 1:12 gives us some real wisdom. And it says, Paul says, "I'm suffering these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. I have that knowledge. So it's not just the word. We have to know him who we believe so that we do believe his word. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed, or some translations say entrusted to him, against that day or until that day. So that gives us a clue that if we don't give him something to keep, he can't just keep it. So what do we trust him with? And it needs to be every area of our life. Now, last week, as we began to talking about don't let fear in, we needed to see where fear came from so that we can see how it originates, how it might come to us so that we don't let it in. We saw in Genesis 3 when the serpent deceived Adam and Eve that what? That fear began to come on them, condemnation. And the lies from the devil about it, I'm sure, impacted and made it worse. And it got to the point where what? Where they said to the father, we heard you coming, and so we hid because we were naked. And what did he ask them? Who told you you were naked? And then he said, have you eaten from that tree? Have you committed that sin? And what happened? That sin, that knowledge that they were guilty, created a separation from him, a fear of punishment from him, condemnation. And it just amplified to the point that they were paralyzed when they heard him coming. You know, I've often wondered if they've gone to him, if they'd have gone to him, would he have forgiven them with his great mercy? But thank goodness we get to walk in that today. So why were they afraid? The sin created a fear of punishment because of their disobedience and spiritual death. Then, because he told them, in dying you will die if this happens. Spiritual death, separation from God, came upon them. Now, Romans 6 tells us the wages of sin is death. And what wages is something that you are paid, which you earn or deserve. Thank goodness we don't get in New Covenant what we deserve. That's his mercy. He keeps us from that. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, with the cross being the big difference, we still need to understand willful, repeated sinning puts us in a position of opening ourselves up to this thing that is called death. They suddenly knew and perceived death, even though they didn't die physically. And that was what? This punishment, which they knew had separated, that sin separated them from God. And so that death then brought a fear of not just dying, as we would think of it in the physical sense, but of destruction and of punishment. So how do we respond to the day when the Lord calls out to us, and maybe we know we've missed it in some areas? How do we react when he calls to us, just like he did to them in the garden, to fellowship with us, just as he wants to, just like he did with them? Well, what we know is that Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's that phrase again. So no condemnation on you and I because of sin. So no death coming to us because of what? Not what we've done. Not how good we've been, but what Jesus has done. Hebrews 2, I want to read two verses, 14 and 15, says, since the children share in flesh and blood, talking about us, it says, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render him powerless. Now let me say that again. He might render him powerless. Now, who is him talking about? The one who had the power of death, that is the devil. And verse 15 then says that, and that he might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So this gives us a clue that the master fear is what? A fear of death. And for you and I, it would be also a fear of separation from God. Now, the world who isn't saved, they don't have an idea of what lays in their future, or they would have that fear as well because they don't hear him. And you're going to see some scriptures that kind of tells them what they're looking for here in a moment that they don't see. But through death, He was punished for us. That's his death. So he received that punishment so that we can be delivered from punishment. Therefore, because we're not being punished, we don't have to let fear in. So we also saw that death is much more than dying. It's being separated from something you love. And we could each give a number of examples about why we are not ready to go, but we need to make sure there's nothing fearful about that being ready to go, because we would be separated from something we love or hold dear or want to see. But this fear of being separated is what the devil will use to tempt you. And that's what really creates a lot of the fear. So let me repeat that. We don't want to be fearful about losing something, because in God, we never have to worry about losing Him in our relationship. He'll never, ever leave us nor forsake you. So losing something that is really essential to us, like our relationship, like our place in Him, that positions us to reject any fear that the devil would try to bring. So in the fear of God, we don't have any fear of losing everything. Now, we looked at Psalm 23, verse 4 last week, talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And, you know, it's not death itself, but it's that shadow. And isn't that a lot of times what the devil does to tempt us? He knows he can't bring the real thing on us, so he just talks about it and creates an image or an illusion of that thing, of us being separated from it, something we love. And then he says, even though I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Now that says to me, I'm making a choice. I'm not going to fear evil. And why could the psalmist say that? For you're with me. Well, we should say the same thing today, shouldn't we? You dwell in me. And where are we? In Him. So the shadow of death there is one of the main areas that I think the devil tries to tempt us with, that illusion that we're about to lose something. And that's how he tries to create an illusion that causes us to fear when he paints a picture of what we might not have without that thing that we hold dear. But in Jesus, there is nothing that death can do to us that would cause us to fear. He is with us always, and we're going to be with Him throughout eternity. But no doubt now, this is a choice that we have to make not to let it in. And that's what we looked at last week. Now, today I want to transition, and I'll make this statement. And that do not fear is not a try to not fear. It is a command. So we can see that the choice we make is, am I going to be obedient to what the Word says? Now, that's a little bit different than saying, well, am I going to make a choice to fear, versus saying, am I going to be obedient to His Word, which says, do not fear or fear not. But I just want us to back up and realize that feelings of fear will come on you. They will arise when things happen. And I'll go ahead and say that today, right now, and we'll repeat it several times, that there is a difference between symptoms of fear and being in fear. Your flesh is going to feel emotions. There are going to be times when things happen and it causes a fright in you that, if we're not careful, we can turn into what? Into a fear. And so when it does come to us today, then here we go again. Do we yield to it or do we resist it? And what we need to do is we need to not let any of the symptoms take root in our soul, because that's where it's going to attack us first, is in our emotions. We don't want to let that in. And so we resist the symptoms, and thus we can begin this effort to keep fear from getting in our heart. And we're going to read some verses that you're going to see this come about as we talk. And let's go actually back to John 14:27 that we talked about last week very briefly, but look at it from a little different perspective. From the New King James, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, let me go through that verse and pick out some things that I want to emphasize. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So we just need to stop and say, what was his peace? Well, a peace, normally think about the absence of war or the absence of conflict, but there was certainly conflict going on concerning Jesus. So what was his peace? His peace were that he and his Father were one. No separation. He has his Father eternally with him. That was the peace that he has. That's the very peace he's given to you and I. That's why knowing we are in him, who is in the Father, is so, so important for us. And it's not a peace that the world can give us, because things are going to come at us. There's going to be disruptions. There's going to be afflictions. But he then says, let not your heart be troubled. So we see this beginning of this word of troubling, of being dreading, I would use that phrase, of a little bit afraid. And then it turns into what? Neither let it be afraid. So he wants to keep our heart from becoming fearful. Now, I want to read, now again, oneness with God. And I want that to be paramount as we read through these. Complete Jewish Bible. Jesus says, what I'm leaving with you is shalom. I'm giving you my shalom, being one with the Father. I don't give the way the world gives, so don't let yourself be upset or frightened. Now, upset or frightened things sound, that sounds to me like he's talking about things that hit us where? In our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. But again, those things can lead to fear. The Amplified, and I'm just going to get to the middle of it, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And here goes the amplification. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit. And that sounds like, don't let it in now. And this is when fear is trying to come. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful or intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, when I read that, that sounds like just the opposite of having a soul that prospers. And we'll probably get into that some next week. If not, I'll mention it again today. But look who has to do not permit. Lord, don't let me get fearful. That's not what he's saying. Look at this last phrase. Do not permit yourselves to become fearful or intimidated. This is something we do. We don't pray to him. He's given us the wherewithal. And what is that? That oneness with him. The New Living, I really like. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled nor afraid. So when we see that then and see about his peace that he's given us, then what do we want to turn our attention to and meditate on when fear arises, when fears come? Turn it to him. Turn it to our position in him. Peace I give to you, my peace. So this implies to me that his peace is going to do a work in us that's going to keep us from becoming fearful. Now, in our heart, that peace is alive and resident, but we want our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, where we're living, to be what? To be at that same peace that my heart is. But it also tells us if we don't control our soul, it can get down and impact the ability of peace to flow up so that we do stay truly troubled. Now, I made the statement, it's like that peace is doing something for us. It is. It's guarding us. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which is the peace that Jesus gave us, surpasses all comprehension. And he's also saying here that the peace of God then shall guard your hearts and minds. Where? In that position in him, in Christ Jesus. So when we are so conscious that we are in Him. His peace is at work guarding us. Can I say that differently? His peace as it is at work keeping us. And one of the things that's keeping us is from fear. Now, the question here then is, can I have thoughts or emotions that are going to come on us and not yield to them? So let me take a verse that talks about a little different emotion. And let's see that yet we answer to that is going to be, yes, I can. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, be angry and yet do not sin. Now, that word yet is in italics in my Bible. So that means it's not in there. So be angry, do not sin. That's literally what it's saying. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then 27 says, and don't give the devil an opportunity. So can we be angry and do and not sin? He wouldn't tell us if we couldn't. So we see here that we can resist the emotions. Now, without spending a lot of time on this verse, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. To me, that doesn't mean, now, if you and your wife, or in my case, a wife, or a spouse, or a friend, if you have a disagreement, be sure you resolve it before either one of you go to sleep. That's not what it means. I think it means deal with it now. Don't put it off until the sun goes down. And certainly don't let it go past there. Deal with it. Why? Because then when we get back in peace, that peace will guard us from this anxiety that's coming. And that last phrase then is not an issue. Because the devil doesn't have an opportunity. So when we lose our peace, when we get into fear, then what are we doing? We're giving the devil an opportunity. So the answer to that question is, can I be angry and not sin? Can I sense fear coming on me and fretting and worrying and not sin? Because we've been told this is a commandment. Yes, we can. You can't say, I just couldn't help it. That's just not so. If I say that, it means I didn't make the right choice. Don't yield to the feelings of anger, to dread, or fear, and yes, even things like addictions. Don't you enter into fear about those kind of things, because the more that we yield to those things, then the more we are training ourselves that when they come upon us, we begin to lean on that. That's that attitude of fear that we talked about previously. Now, yes, it can be a spirit, as I said before, that comes upon us, but that's not the norm. I think we do a good job ourselves of creating our own issues. So when that happens, then we end up in fear without even thinking. It's just a natural reaction until we learn to resist it, to look at Jesus, to be conscious of our position in Him, and that we don't have to lose things. That's when we're strong in the Lord. When we let our spirit control us, not our mind, not our soul, not our emotions. When we let the inside man control us, the real you, that's where your strength comes from. And that's when you're truly yielded to the peace of God. And again, when that happens, the devil has no place in you. He doesn't have an opportunity. Now, let me just suggest, take time this week and just go around speaking and saying who you are in Him. Look in the mirror and declare, I'm in you, Jesus, and you're in me. Just like I've told you to do that with love, where you go and say, Jesus, you love me just like the Father does. Father God, you love me just like you love Jesus. Be bold and say that until that rises up strong. Now, what happens if we don't deal with it? Now, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament here, to the book of Job. And I want you to look in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. This says this, it's talking about Job, and I'm going to jump right down in the middle of it because we don't have a lot of time to spend here. But it says, and his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters. So all Job's family was there. And they would eat and drink. And it would come about when the days of fasting had been completed that Job would send and consecrate them, rising early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, this is what was in his heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? the mouth speaks. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This Job did continually. So what is he doing? He's constantly fretting. He's worrying. He's doing what ifs. Where was his focus? On the fact that they were sinning, possibly. And then you know that disaster came. Now, let's see how that impacted Job, because he didn't deal with it. Chapter 3, verse 25, clearly tells us, "For what I fear comes upon me." Now, if you don't get anything today, see that you've been delivered from fear, and this verse does not have to apply to you. But we must deal with that fear, and we must give it to Jesus in this area of our life that fear arises, to keep it from us. It goes on and says, "And what I dread befalls me." So you say, "Well, I kind of dread that." Well, what do we see? Dread leads to fear, and fear leads to something coming upon us that we don't. He says, "I'm not at ease, and I'm not at quiet, and I'm not at rest, but turmoil comes." In other words, there's nothing peaceful. There's nothing prosperous about his soul right now. So what we fear is faith perverted. And being persuaded of it means you're expecting it. That cannot be us. You know, it's just like we're believing for healing. If we expect a healing to come because the anointing has come upon you, and you've sensed it, and you know it, and you know it, and you know it, then you're expecting it. Faith perverted will work in the same way. Why be afraid if you're not certain something's going to happen? You know, fear of death can come when you begin to worry, am I going to have enough money? And money buys food. Food nourishes the body. Lack of food will bring sickness and disease to your body. But you know what will kill you a lot quicker? Or hurt you a lot quicker than the fear of losing money and not having enough food and lack of those kind of things? The fear itself will cause you more physical harm than the possibility of losing those things that you think you need for life. Again, fear means you're expecting something bad to happen. It is a spiritual force giving the devil the right to move against you, just like he did with Job. Way too much in one day to just be a now normal occurrence. You're giving the devil a chance, or Job did. Faith receives life from God. Fear draws destruction as a magnet would draw paper clips. It is a spiritual force, and we must deal with it, or it will deal with us. Now, what has happened in the past, because it's just like I can hear somebody saying, "Yeah, but this always seems to happen." What has happened in the past doesn't have to come again. Deal with the fear that's rising up. Deal with those thoughts and symptoms, and you can walk free. Now, this next passage is not a fun one, but I want to read it to you out of Proverbs 1, and we're going to read 23, and I think we're going to go through verse 30. And I want you to see several things. So let me go ahead and tell you. Now, first thing I want to tell you is we're reading this, which is the way the Lord dealt with them in the Old Testament, because they didn't have a redeemer. They didn't have one to stand in the gap for them. This is not what you need to fear. But you can see how the devil can use fear in these verses that we're going to read. And I just want you to keep this thought in your mind, that faith receives life from God, and fear draws destruction from the enemy. So let's start reading in verse 23. "Turn to my reproof." Now this is the Lord talking, so he's saying, "Turn and listen to me correcting. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you." But then he says, "Because I called and you refused." Now, let me stop there. We've talked here recently about being led of the Spirit. We talk consistently about getting revelation. A friend reminded me of some comments that I had made years ago when we were teaching about being led of the Spirit and receiving the revelation of direction. And the quote that I had given, and I'll paraphrase it, I guess, is that I must be willing to receive correction if I want to receive direction and revelation well. So let me say that again. If you want to receive, openly, easily receive direction and revelation, then we need to learn to deal with correction. And that's what you're going to see in these words here. So now back to 25. It says, "And you neglected all my counsel, and you did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity." Well, the Lord's not going to laugh at us today because we're His covenant kids. With His Son, we're in Him, and we have that keeping us. He says, "I'll mock you when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind." That reminds you of Job, doesn't it? "When distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I won't answer." Now, again, this is the way He had to deal with them in the Old Testament. But I want you to see the principle here. Don't wait until the storm comes and your fears manifest to call on Him. Look to Him. Look to that position of being in Christ Jesus when the symptoms of fear arise in our soul. So we don't want to wait till then. It says also, "They'll diligently seek me, but they shall not find me." Now, a lot of times we don't find Him because we're in such turmoil we can't discern His presence. And then 29 and 30, as I was meditating these verses, really jumped at me. "They hated knowledge," He says. "And because they chose the fear, they did not choose the fear of the Lord." So, the only fear we want to be focused on that we accept is the fear of the Lord. And we'll touch on that, I think, next week in the fourth session that we have. And it goes on to say, "They would not receive my counsel," and it all goes back to, "They spurned my reproof." So to walk in the way we want to do with no fear, we need to be able to be corrected, because the Lord needs to tell us, don't go this way, and us be open to receiving it, even though we think things are okay. Now, I hope this makes you grateful for what Jesus accomplished for us after reading it. But I want you to see, the influence of the devil is pervasive. Because if we're not looking at God, our eyes are going to be looking at other things. And we've got to guard our eyes and ears. We've got to guard it with TV. Even something not bad like the news. We have to guard it so that we don't build up fear up here and let it penetrate to our heart. You know, you see commercials saying you're going to get this and you're going to get that. And I think about all the things we went through with COVID. It's so subtle, the evil on TV and how the devil uses it. Even, you know, comedies. If you're not careful, some of the comedy shows have some things that are in there about some sexual things that aren't good for us. And then it gets into murders and other things. And so every time he can do it, the devil is going to bring forth sin and death, and we have to be careful to guard our eyes. We've got to shut the door, because if we continue to look at it, it's going to bring panic to us if we're not careful. Now, I've not gotten to everything that I want to cover today, so I'm just going to unplug here, and we'll pick up next week and continue some of this. What I hope you sense is that when fear comes, I need to deal with it right away. Remember Psalm 123, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." It is a choice we have to make. Even if your knees are knocking and you just feel like panicking, your muscles may be tensing up, turn your eyes to your position in Jesus, knowing that He's given you His peace, His oneness with the Father, and that you're there with Him. And you can go back to the verse that said, "The devil can't snatch my sheep out of my hand, and he can't do it out of the Father's hands." You've got two layers of protection there. Oh, just see that and let it come alive. So if your knees are knocking, and your stomach's churning, don't give in to fear. It is a choice. When we resist, what do we have the promise? He will flee. And I've told you before, that word flee there means to run away in stark terror. Folks, fear hinders God's plan for you and I. It gives a place to the enemy instead of our faith giving a place to God. And you know, let me just kind of conclude with this. You can even, and I've met people who have been in such fear that they didn't have the right amount of faith in God. Now, that's a sad situation to get into. You become afraid, and you begin to listen to the devil more, and of the things he's telling you, you're going to have them because you questioning your own faith. That's why I say, go back to that love. Go back to that point of salvation that says, I have my place in Christ Jesus. We don't want to have faith in anything the enemy offers us. So let me just conclude this and say this. When fear appears, the peace of God will guard your what? Well, let me say it differently. The peace of God will guard or keep your heart and your mind. How's it going to do that? In Christ Jesus. And if I'd gotten far enough, I would have added to it, and I'll go ahead and say this, in his righteous right hand. And we'll cover 2 to 3 more verses next week, and then we'll get on to what the Lord has laid on my heart to do there. I trust it has blessed you. I trust it has encouraged you to stand up boldly and say, no, I will not fear, for he's with me. So when fear comes, when the symptoms try to build on it, deal with the symptoms, and watch the fear depart from around you. Bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.